FOMO.
My name is Patrick J. McGinnis, and I'm a FOMO sapiens. And since you're here, I'm going to bet that you are too. And when you're like us and Monday comes around, you don't dread the new week. No, you wake up every Monday morning knowing that this week might just be the best one yet. This is FOMO Monday, the snackable show that starts your week right with hot takes, life hacks, listener mail, and even some FOMO therapy. Hey everybody, welcome back to Faux Monday. It is Monday. It is my favorite day of the week because if you like what you do, then Monday's a happy day. And of course, Faux Monday is the snackable companion to FOMO Sapiens, which we'll drop a full episode this Thursday. But until then, I'm with you here, your host Patrick McGinnis, venture capitalist by day, author and podcaster by night, and FOMO Sapiens 24/7. Ooh, today I want to talk about something I love to talk about. I can't get enough of this story. It is Theranos. Oh, Elizabeth Holmes, you are a master of generating FOMO. And in fact, it got you into trouble. And this story is about the case that is ongoing, the United States versus Holmes. And there was an article that I've been reading a lot about this case. I literally can't. It's like I want to just spend all my time reading about it. And this article from The Verge is called Theranos FOMO Kept the DeVos Family from Doing Its Investment Homework. And my friend Jeff Goujon sent it to me. And I've been getting a lot of other FOMO articles on this topic from folks who listen to this show. And so I want to talk about this story because it's kind of like the perfect storm. You have this sophisticated family, the DeVos family, and they own Amway. They are billionaires like many times over, and the family is sort of well known because of that. I mean, Amway is a fascinating company. It's a private company. You know, it's kind of controversial because it's seen as like this cultish culture. In fact, I remember as a kid, there was a family in my town that sold Amway, and people looked at them with great suspicion. But they clearly bought, you know, they bought products for them, and this family did quite well. But that's kind of an interesting angle. And then you have the DeVosses, who are, you know, well known too, because Betsy DeVos, who's part of that family, was a very controversial member of the Trump administration. And then you have the fact that they invested $100 million into Theranos, not really knowing what the heck they were doing, and they lost their money, and it was just a mess. And so that is the story that's coming out, of course, what sort of really happened, because the trial's happening, and there's a woman named Lisa Peterson who was on the stand talking about why they made the investment, the family. And I do have to say, number one, is I think the fact that it's being put out there like Betsy DeVos's family did this investment is kind of a little unfair. I mean, I understand why people may not like her, but, you know, it's not like she led the deal. So kind of using that to make a headline, it's classical clickbait journalism. And I think it's a little sloppy and we could do better. But the other thing is, I actually worked with the DeVos family in my prior life in private equity. They have this entity called RDV, which is huge. I mean, they have a whole staff. If they have 50 or 100 people working, just managing their fortune, I would not be surprised. They have a bunch of planes, people flying around the world. They're very global. Amway has a huge presence in China. And in fact, the investment that I made was an investment in China with their team in private equity. And they're sophisticated. The people I worked with from DeVos, from the RDV family, these were not family members. They were, you know, professionals that managed the investments for the family. They were pretty sharp. So, you know, I do think that it's this story is crazy, but I would just say that my experience working with RDV was quite a good one. They were very sharp. So this one is a little bit of a deviation from a history of good investing, but you know how it is. When it hits the headlines, all those good things you did, they look less good. Now, what happened? Basically, in this situation, Lisa Peterson, who was in charge of the investment for the DeVos family for RDV, was leading due diligence, and she didn't really know the science. And in fact, she basically just kind of took everything that Elizabeth said at face value. And Elizabeth was smart. She would throw like a Pfizer logo on a document, and then you started saying, oh, this is official. Yeah, maybe not. And at the same time, she had this very fancy board of people with like heads of state and generals. So the DeVos family flies out. Lisa flies out with them. They, you know, test the tech. They believe everything that they're told. And then they never do more due diligence. They don't hire an expert. They don't hire anybody to look at the patents. And Lisa Peterson said on the stand, quote, I'm not a scientist. I can't figure out if those things were lending credibility to what they're saying. At which point I say, good observation, Lisa. You are not a scientist. You know yourself. So go hire one. You know, if you're going to put $100 million in or something, like, spend a little money to make sure that it's real. But they didn't do that, RDV. And the reason why that she said that she didn't do that was because she was afraid of upsetting Elizabeth Holmes. Holmes was also, at the same time she was kind of getting people to invest in her company and trying to get them excited, she was also saying to them, listen, you know, I don't have to take your money, so you need to play by my rules, and I don't want you asking these questions. I'm busy and important, and I don't want to waste my time with you. And so RDV had all this FOMO that they might get iced by Elizabeth, and so they didn't ask the hard questions that one asks in due diligence, which is, that's just bad.
FOMO.
Tudo bem, meus queridos FOMO sapiens? Now, that right there was Portuguese, and as you know, I love speaking foreign languages. But I'm not alone. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Now, FOMO sapiens, you know I speak 4 languages, and it takes work to stay on top of them, especially with French. C'est difficile. But with Babbel, I'm able to practice practical conversations that I can actually use in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/FOMO. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FOMO. That's spelled BABBEL.com/FOMO. Rules and restrictions may apply.
FOMO.
I'll tell you something. If you if you guys have $100 million and you want me to invest it on your behalf, I promise you I will do the due diligence. Maybe the investment will not go well, but it won't be because I was too afraid to ask hard questions. That's just lame. It's just lame, and it's not an excuse. And so what I want to tell you is just, here's my take on this. My hot take on the situation. I got 5 things to say. Number one, we all know FOMO has 2 elements. The first is aspirational FOMO. And what I see here is aspirational FOMO causing a massive blind spot. You know, the DeVos family, RDV, believed that they were going to make a ton of money, ton of money. It's like, you know, it's greed. And as a result, that desire to make a ton of money on this crazy, amazing, what looked like a sort of, you know, changing the world kind of company, it caused them to sort of just like stop thinking. Okay, just completely stop thinking. So that aspirational FOMO, the idea that I want something I don't have right now, it's very powerful. And if you use it against people, which Elizabeth did, their greed will overcome their skepticism. Number two, the second kind of FOMO is herd FOMO. And we see the herd here because you have a situation in which you've got all these really famous people like James Mattis, you know, the general, he's on the board, and Kissinger, and, you know, those types of people. And so, you know, DeVos family flies out and they're like, well, you know, you got all these smart people on your board, and also you have smart investors, and oh, Rupert Murdoch might invest, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So the herd, they join the herd and they say, well, I'm protected. I'm in the herd. You know, if I'm with all these other smart people, like, I don't need to do my own work. I can just kind of skate off of their work. Yeah. You know what? If you have $100 million to throw into something, do your own work. Okay. That's like, again, it's just, as somebody who did investing for a living on behalf of a large institution that managed other people's money, that's just not okay. It's poor, and it's not forgivable. I'm still upset. Number 3, fear. I just find it amazing, the power of fear. The idea that if you're not able to participate in this investment and you miss out, the fear of missing out, FOMO, how powerful it is to get you to completely outsource your thinking to nothing. So remember, investing out of fear or acting out of fear of upsetting somebody, that's not a power move. Strong people don't do things out of fear. It's just a bad way to manage your investments and your life. Number 4, always invest in what you understand and what you know. I mean, it's so basic, but it's sort of like, when I see people investing in startups and they have no idea how to describe what that company does, they can't even assess if the technology makes sense or not. It's just, that is top of the market behavior. And, you know, at some point the market corrects, or you run into some fraud like what happened with Theranos, and you will get burned. It's just the way the world works. And finally, This is the part that really irritates me. Accountability. Like, what is the accountability for the people who make bad investments? Now, I don't know what happened to Lisa and the other members of the team that worked on this deal. Maybe Lisa got in trouble. Maybe she didn't. But I will say people make bad investments all the time based on FOMO. And a lot of times they never pay the piper. Nothing happens. And so I do think it's important to recognize and hold people accountable. If they you know, make bad investments because of lack of judgment, they should be held accountable, whether they lose their job or something else. And I will say there is one upside to all of this, which is that I can guarantee Lisa will never make an investment based on FOMO ever again. Like, this is great learning. And in fact, listen, I'm not perfect. I made investments based on FOMO all the time early in my career. I was an investor in the early days of the internet. We invested in concepts that made really no sense. And I learned from that experience, having been burned when they all blew up and I had to sort of like restructure the companies and fire people. I learned how painful that is. And I said, never again. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not a FOMO investor. It's probably one of the, I mean, I've stayed away from a lot of trendy investments. Now, have I sat on the sides when other people made money? Have I missed out on an opportunity to make money sometimes? Yeah, undoubtedly. But you know what? I sleep better at night, and so I'm okay with that. So anyway, just to recap my five hot takes, aspirational FOMO is, you know, it is here in this story in many ways. Number two, the herd FOMO is also here, and you combine them together, and it's just like, boom. Number three, fear-based decision-making is not a way to go. Four, just stick to what you know. Invest in what you know. You will be so much happier, I promise. And number five, I don't even know. This isn't advice. It's just my hot take is sort of like there should be accountability, and it really irritates me. And like, you know, Elizabeth, she's being held accountable. But how about all these FOMO investors? What about them? All right. That was my hot take. I'm now a little stressed out because it gets to me. But keep following these stories and sending me stories that you think would be good for FOMendes. I love hearing from you. You can reach me at letsconnect@patrickmcginnis.com. You can also find me on Twitter at PJ McGinnis and on Instagram at Patrick J McGinnis. All right, everybody, have a great week. I will see you on Thursday with another episode of FOMO Sapiens. Can't get enough of FOMO Sapiens? Join me on Patreon for ad-free episodes, bonus material, and exclusive content that will help you to master FOMO and position yourself for greater success in both business and life. Go to patreon.com/FOMOSapiens to learn more. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Patrick J. McGinnis, on Twitter at PJ McGinnis, and on LinkedIn. I love hearing from you, so don't be shy. FOMO. Want more FOMO Sapiens and FOMO Monday? Head over to FOMOSapiens.com where you can listen to past episodes, learn more about the show, and find out how to advertise. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Patrick J. McGinnis and on Twitter at PJ McGinnis.